Going to the movies has become an increasingly costly proposition. Fortunately, the El Paso area supports a host of alternative and free screening options. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. For decades, Jay Duncan has been screening classic films for audiences in and around El Paso. His Sunset Film Society has just announced a new partnership and venue, which will add a weekly venture to the Society's ongoing monthly program. I'm happy to have Jay Duncan, director of the Sunset Film Society, back on the program. Hi, Jay.
Hi. Thank you.
Sunset Film Society goes international, or International Museum of Art now.
That's true.
This is a venue, it's a return of sorts in July.
It is.
I know a couple of years ago you had a screening series at the International Museum of Art.
And actually it goes back the first time, I think, around the early 2000s, like 2001, 2002, somewhere in there.
You know, I think I recall that series too.
It's a great venue. It gives us the opportunity of having a weekly presentation, which ties into kind of special programming we can do, too, including The Hook.
I know that the Sunset Film Society, you've been screening for the past year at Artavino's Desert Crossing, and that's going to continue on a monthly basis, your monthly series there.
Absolutely.
And those are Sundays at noon. But this is a weekly series. For people who have not been to the International Museum of Art, where is that?
It's at 1211 Montana Avenue, and it's the Turney home, and it's actually the site for the original El Paso Museum of Art.
So people of a certain age will remember the Montana address of the original El Paso Museum of Art. What many people don't realize is there's this fantastic theater in the basement.
That's right. That's right. It's wonderful. I remember fondly, and I'm guessing it's probably the mid-60s, going to see films projected on 16mm. Hmm. It was before they had the theater seats. It was like folding chairs, I think, and there were, you know, a handful of us there to see, and me to see for the first time, Andalusian Dog, Red Shoes, Tales of Hoffman.
So they were kind of experimental films.
Experimental and artistic.
I recall it being wood paneled.
Yes. Yes.
Room.
And they've upgraded tremendously in the past several years to a very high-quality overhead digital projection system, good sound system. Of course, you have a stage and so forth, too. And on top of all of that, concessions will be sold. So it's kind of like actually going to a movie theater.
And the best part is the price?
The price, yes. It's affordable. It's free, including free parking. So, hey, what's not to like?
Now, you're kicking off this new series in July. You've been working, I know, for a number of weeks with the management there at the International Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. Run down for us this first three films that you've got programmed for July.
Okay. Of course, there are four Saturdays in July, but the fourth is on,
right.
is on a Saturday, and I believe they will be closed. So we kick off on July 11th with The Time Machine.
I know that's one of your favorite films.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times. It's all right.
1960 George Powell film.
Yes, yes. And we'll talk a bit about Rod Taylor, who passed away on January 7th.
Right.
And he was just shy of his 85th birthday by 4 days.
And this is, of course, based on the H.G. Wells novel.
Right. So
science
it has
fiction.
Literary roots. And the following, The Brave One, not to be confused with the Jodie Foster Brave One,
right.
Which came out a few years ago. This is a film that a lot of people may not have seen. Many more may not have even heard of, but I think it should be more well known because Dalton Trumbo was involved, and it was under a pseudonym, Robert Rich, that the best Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay was given. And nobody accepted, of course.
Dalton Trumbo, of course, was the famous blacklisted screenwriter who was part of the Hollywood 10 in the late 40s.
So it wasn't until 1975 when I believe as Walter Mirisch actually presented it to Dalton Trumbo. So it was like from 56 to 75 before it was claimed.
This is a beautiful Technicolor film, as I recall.
It is. Widescreen, Technicolor, RKO. They came up with a budget for this, and it was filmed in Mexico.
Unusual for the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's no soundstage, as far as I can determine, all on location, and quite a charming little film.
For people who have not seen The Brave One, that's probably less well known as than the Time Machine, but yes. What's the story about?
Well, the story is about Leonardo, the young peasant boy who has basically given a pet baby bull. He names Gitano, Gypsy, and it's his pet. And so there's changes in the ownership. The man that gave it to him passes on, and somebody wants to buy the bull as an adult to fight in the arena. Mm-hmm. And it's the little boy's search into Mexico City to retrieve his pet. It does have a lot of emotion.
A boy and his bull.
That's true. It's Old Yeller and My Friend Flicka in a different setting, in a different situation.
One of the things I love that you're doing with this series over the course of however long it's going to run is you're showing serials with these films.
Right.
Just like if you had gone to the movies, I guess, back in the 40s.
Absolutely. We did that before when it was a weekly opportunity, and it serves many purposes. Obviously, it's something that you don't see everywhere. Secondly, it's a hook to bring them back from week to week. And if it's done on a once-a-month basis, it's too much time to forget what you've seen. And so we'll be showing the 12-chapter original 1941 Captain Marvel, which has been kind of considered the all-around best serial ever created. And so it starts on July 11th, and the 12th chapter will end on or about September 26th.
The serials back then, I guess this was pre-television, but sort of the precursor to weekly scripted television shows where you yep. always ended with a cliffhanger that made you want to come back and see what happened
That's
next
true.
Week.
This one is notable for the flying sequences. The Leidecker brothers created ingenious ways to show a man in flight that's totally believable even by today's standards. Mm. And so it's very good.
And something that you literally can't see hardly anywhere in a theater.
That's true. Well, I always tried to simulate kind of the original movie-going experience, right. You know, maybe have some music from the movies as you go into the auditorium, either a serial or a cartoon, a featurette or something that kind of enhances the movie-going experience. And this seems to catch on with audiences today.
You're going to wrap up July with another hard-to-see film.
Oh.
And something very different than the first two.
Yes. One of the things that the museum would like to do each month, and probably always fall on the last Saturday of the month, will be either a documentary or a drama showcasing an artist. Hmm. And in this case, it's The Mystery of Picasso from 1956, starring Pablo Picasso. It's not an actor.
Right.
And it's actually an opportunity to see a master artist at work. You're in front of the canvas. He's behind it. So you're seeing the actual lines appear as he creates the work of art.
It's fascinating. The filmmakers developed this very unusual technique with this translucent screen, and they're speaking with Picasso, and he's speaking back and talking about his life and his work. But you're watching him start with a blank slate and create in just minutes.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, a number of things, is that all of these were destroyed, so exist only on film.
Right.
These works of art that would be multi-millions of dollars now. I think there's 20 that are done in the course of the 75 minutes. And another thing is that the pedigree of the film, you have a director that did Diabolique, that did Wages of Sin, I believe, and also
Wages of Fear.
Wages of Fear and Eyes Without a Face.
Clouseau.
Yes, Clouseau. And you have Georges Auric doing the music, and it was photographed by the nephew of Jean and grandson of Auguste Renoir, Claude. So you have just first-rate people behind this project.
Quite a pedigree.
Absolutely.
So as you go forward, this is always going to be on a Saturday at 2 p.m.?
Yes.
Beginning July 11th.
Right.
So people just mark out their calendars.
That's right.
Always
just
something
block
good.
It all out.
I know one of the things you've always done with your film series is you introduce the films and give a lot of context and educational notes that go along with it to deepen or enrich the experience.
Yeah, hopefully it's a go deeper kind of a thing with a little historical background associated, but not to draw away from the entertainment value. I don't want it to become too scholastic. But all of the films generally will be family-friendly, certainly suitable for audiences of all ages, and noteworthy in some regard.
I take it the museum is open, the full museum is open during these screenings, so afterwards or before, you can wander the galleries and check out the exhibitions that are there?
Absolutely. I think on Saturdays it's from 1 to 5, so you can come early and check out the galleries or visit the gift shop and stay for the film and probably if or the other way around, come to the film and then stay a bit and visit the galleries and the gift shop too. So it's an opportunity to see this wonderful venue.
I mentioned earlier that the Sunset Film Society has been meeting at Artovino's Desert Crossing once a month, and that's going to continue.
Right.
So this is not supplanting.
It's
expanding.
It's broadening and expanding.
Your offerings.
Yeah.
I know on July 19th you've got something very close to your heart coming up, a film to screen there.
Yeah.
Run us down what's going to be showing at Artovino's Desert Crossing in July.
Well, on the 19th, it's just a Sunday at noon, we'll be showing Into the Atomic Age, and it's a double bill commemorating the 70th anniversary, can you believe that, of the world entering the new technological age and changing forever with the detonation of the first atomic bomb at Trinity Site in Alamogordo.
And two films spotlighting that day?
We'll be showing about a 37-minute segment, basically showing Trinity Site, showing the preparation, showing archival documentary footage and the blast, and going up through, I think, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, taking place in August of that year, and then going into a feature that's as a result of us entering the atomic age, which is Them, which is set in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and is the best of the cautionary radioactive what's going on beneath the surface here. And it's a fine film. It's well written. It's treated as a mystery. It has a terrific cast, including James Whitmore and James Arness and Edmund Gwynn, if you remember him from Santa Claus from America on 34th Street. And early appearances by Fess Parker, which led to him being signed by Disney for Davy Crockett, and Leonard Nimoy as a telegraph operator.
Beautiful black and white film, one of the greatest 50s sci-fi films.
So. Absolutely. Still holds up.
Great layout coming in July in both venues, Artovino's Desert Crossing and the new International Museum of Art. Congratulations on expanding your programming. And
thank you.
Look forward to seeing you back at the International.
Absolutely. And people, if you just go to sunsetfilmsociety.org, you'll be able to keep abreast of what's coming up.
I've been discussing the Sunset Film Society's upcoming expanded programming with Jay Duncan, film historian and director of the Sunset Film Society. The Society has just announced a new weekly screening series launching in July at the International Museum of Art at 1211 Montana Avenue. The Sunset Film Society will screen the 1960s science fiction classic The Time Machine on Saturday, July 11th, followed by the 1956 film The Brave One on July 18th and the extraordinary documentary The Mystery of Picasso on July 25th. All screenings are at 2 p.m. and admission is free. The Sunset Film Society also continues its monthly series of films at Artovino's Desert Crossing in Sunland Park with an atomic double bill and a nod to the 70th anniversary of the first atomic bomb test outside Alamogordo, New Mexico. To keep up with the Sunset Film Society's screening calendar, visit sunsetfilmsociety.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.